coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Man, what it is about seeing a Christian eaten by a lion that just makes me want to eat a barbecue sandwich. I don't know. Happy holidays.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
I chose the app life and it let me down.
Huntsville Home Video. Now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
It's still starting to feel like Christmas here at Huntsville Home Video.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're talking about horror movies and shit again.
Mm-hmm. It's cold outside.
by Huntsville, Alabama standards, yes.
Right, it's a good solid 39 out there.
A brisk
39. Mm-hmm. And my car would not start from the app today. So really, really hanging on by a thread here, kids.
Look at this bougie bitch. I have a car that starts with an app.
The system is down and your girl's down.
Man.
Look, you get me accustomed to a lifestyle, and then I got to break away from it for a day. God damn.
I like how over these past 70-plus episodes, we've always talked about how we're just broke radio people, and
yeah.
I'm sure our Baker's Dozen right now is like, wait, you have a car that starts with a nap? You fucking lying bitch.
First of all, it's a Hyundai.
It's a Hyundai.
It's a Hyundai. It's not even top of the line in the family of the Tucson. It's like mid-range. And I'm in crippling debt because I financed it too high just to get the damn thing. Because guess what? My other car just wouldn't fucking work. Amen. Hallelujah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry motherfucking Christmas, baby. What's up, Jack?
pretty much the only thing I look forward to all week is recording another episode.
Understandable.
Of this here podcast.
Look at what's happened in 2 minutes.
We just got to exercise the demons. Get them out.
You're telling me your fancy car doesn't start from an app?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's amazing.
It might, maybe.
Yours is a Charger, right?
Challenger. Challenger.
Same thing, only different.
Right, yeah.
Right, exactly. I can't believe that. Yeah, talk about, radio people don't make enough, but look at your fucking car out there.
Yes, well, I also have a job outside of radio.
That's true.
That pays real money.
Yeah.
And gives bonuses and vacation time.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you.
It's a mystical land.
I deserve my app.
I didn't. Yes, you do. You do deserve your app.
Let me just have my app.
Have your app. Enjoy your app. I'm sorry your app didn't start today.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
It was a little rough. It's cold.
Like off air, if you need to talk about it, we'll talk about it. If you want to talk about it on air too, we'll talk about it on air.
I feel like I've talked about it on air enough.
Okay.
But I'll come to you behind the scenes because I don't feel like I really worked it all out.
Okay. All right. We'll get you. Hey, we're going to get you through this.
Do you hear my voice? Do you hear the strain of my voice?
I do.
That's the app not working.
I don't like this, Lily. I like happy app starting, Lily.
Right?
Yeah. This doom and gloom isn't cutting it.
It's real rough. It was cold. The steering wheel was cold as fuck.
It was cold. Meanwhile, we have listeners that are probably listening to this while shoveling 6 to 7 inches of snow out of their driveways.
It's the life you chose. Bobby. I chose the app life and it let me down.
I chose the app life. Oh, God damn it. I'm already dead. I didn't choose the app life. The app life chose me. Son of a bitch, that's good.
What's up? It's good to be back together, buddy.
It is, yeah, because, like, you know, a little behind the scenes, we actually recorded the last week's episode like 2 weeks ago.
Yes, it's been a while.
Because you had to go to Disney.
I'm sorry, my first, oh, yeah, oh, great. I first the app on the phone and now a Disney trip. yeah, I went to Disney for 5 days.
Damn.
And flew and everything. It was crazy. I'm really in debt now.
If you weren't because of the app car.
Right.
Now you're super in debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was at Disney for a week in total just with traveling. 2 travel days and 5 days at Disney. Had never been before. And enjoyed the hell out of it. It was
an amazing time, isn't it?
Tower of Terror is the best.
All right, that's your jam.
Rise of the Resistance was fucking phenomenal, but you take Star Wars out of it, Tower of Terror was a jam.
All right.
I love your Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion is the goods.
It's good. It's good. I know it's a ride. I don't consider it a ride because you don't get any thrills. You know what I mean?
You don't get thrills in this, like a roller coaster or Tower of Terror. It's an experience.
Yes, it's the best experience at Disney.
I think a lot of rides in theme parks are going towards that now, like your Transformers ride, your King Kong ride, like the ones at Universal, where it's not necessarily a coaster,
right?
But it's just like it's an immersive experience.
Every time we rode it, which I think was four times, I saw like at least five different things that I didn't see before.
Uh-huh.
Like it's fascinating. I would love to just tour it. It would be awesome.
And did you notice how it was a little bit dusty in there?
Yes.
That was probably human remains.
Oh. Oh, do people dump their ashes there?
They sure do.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this humans in me that's caused me to get clogged up?
Maybe.
Do I have spirits?
You have spirits.
Is this why my app won't work?
Yeah. It's all come full circle.
Oh, shit.
That's a big Disney urban legend, is that people have wanted their ashes spread at the Haunted Mansion.
Oh.
And Disney's like, no, you can't do that. So people just sneak them in and dump them out on the ride.
You could easily do that. No problems.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So the urban legend is that even though it's really dusty in there, you're thinking, oh, this is all part of the illusion. No, it's humans.
It's humans.
Just floating around all up in your business.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Just that moment of realization that you
right.
had, like, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
I have human dust in my eyeballs. I'm now possessed by ghosts.
Oh, man, that's something to think about today.
Yeah. Well, we'll think about it while we're talking about this Christmas movie that we're about to talk about.
We've only been here for a while. Do you want to talk about the movie that we're supposed to talk about?
Yeah, because, you know, it's Huntsville Home Video. You know how we do here by now.
Look, we're going to go in circles for a bit.
And if you don't know how we do...
Welcome.
We're talking about Krampus today.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Christmas movie to us.
Tis.
Uh-huh. Tis, yes. Very festive. Very festive, Foster.
Yeah.
We are talking about Krampus, a movie that Leanne Foster has never seen. A movie directed by a gentleman who I think has directed probably your favorite Halloween movie now with Trick or Treat.
Yeah, that was when we did Hell Comes to Huntsville, I think that was probably my favorite.
Yep. So now we get Michael Dougherty's take on Christmas. I enjoy the film, but it doesn't ultimately matter to me. No one gives a shit about my opinions. No one's here for Jack Spade. Everyone's here for Leanne Foster.
You know, I'm starting to believe that because you're beating it into my head, but I don't want to be that person.
You should be that person.
But... okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about me.
It
is about you. I keep telling. The movie trailer dude says it. It's all about the movies that she's never seen. So you are the hero of this journey, Leanne.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, what did you think about Krampus?
This was a movie that was, I think I'd mentioned before, was on my list of things to see because I thought, oh, you'll really like this movie. And I never got around to it, but I always, whenever I saw it or heard about it, I was like, that's going to be a good movie. And then I watched it, and then I thought, gee whiz, that is a really good movie.
Hell yeah.
Fucking great. It has everything that I like. I thought it was super well done. I love, first of all, great cast. And I felt like it was such a good blend of Christmas and horror and comedy. It was done really really well.
Really, yeah.
Yeah.
Incredibly well. We've got, like I said, we got Michael Dougherty's take on Halloween, which is, as we discussed during Hell Comes to Huntsville, is an actual, true, proper Halloween movie. It takes place on Halloween, has a lot of the Halloween iconography and legend. Now we've moved over to Christmas.
I thought he did a fantastic job.
Now I'm ready to see his take on Valentine's Day.
Oh my, is there one out there? No. Or is he gonna, okay, well then no. He needs to make
I'm just saying he needs to make all the holidays.
Sir? Sir? Because I know you're listening.
Yep. He was blown away by our Trick or Treat review on Hell Comes to Huntsville. Michael Dougherty, a fan.
Absolutely.
That's 100%. The world I live in.
He's liked, subscribed, followed, written a 5-star review. I guarantee it's there. I haven't checked recently, but I guarantee it's there. So I'm going to need you to continue on the folklore here and go through each holiday.
Yeah, I'm going to need a complete reboot of the Leprechaun franchise. I need your take on St. Patrick's Day. We can do that.
Uh-huh.
No, Krampus. I thought Krampus was really well done. Went into this movie, saw it in the theaters back in 2015.
Nice.
I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. It was a movie that was supposed to come out around Thanksgiving time. And then Wisely Studios were like, what the fuck are we doing?
Why would you do that?
And then they released it on Christmas Eve. And I'm like, I'll go see this shit on Christmas Eve because fuck a Christmas. Welcome to Huntsville Home Video, baby.
Right. We want to see death and destruction and children being eaten. That's what we think now of Christmas.
Yep.
Once it loses its magic, then Krampus is right your style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. Krampus is the movie. If you get into that, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not debate, you can get in that debate all you want, all day long. Mm-hmm. I'll be over here watching an actual Christmas movie called Krampus. Like, y'all yep. have fun. I'm going to be over here being an enlightened being.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be over here where all hope is lost, yep. and this is what we're dealing with. That, it's heavy. It's super heavy at times.
That's a Christmas movie for our times.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
Ugh. I feel like I paused a lot.
Just to take a breath?
Yeah. I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to get taken by Krampus. Why hasn't it happened in the last 10 years?
I mean, just that opening scene alone where people are just massacring each other in a Black Friday situation.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's legit.
Yeah. I was like, this is real. Even the place called Mucho Mart. I was like, yep, that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Although I will say it seems that over the last couple years that has become less of a thing. The Black Friday maulings.
Yeah.
Just because they stretched it out. Yeah. It only took them 50 years to figure that out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now it's Black Friday for a month.
Yeah.
Which, why do we keep calling it Black Friday? I don't know. But now it's a month and online. Yeah. But say that to the poor people who work at Amazon and shit who have to package these orders.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm sure things have toned down for them.
Oh, yeah. Don't get it twisted. Everyone hates their life.
Yeah.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one's
we
a
all
fan.
Do.
Yeah.
Especially when my app quit working this morning.
I believe that is what the kids on the street would call privilege.
Yeah. White privilege right here. I'm the walking embodiment. Oh, man. Look, it still won't log in. Look at that. Isn't that terrible?
Isn't that terrible?
God damn.
Yeah.
Get your systems back, Hyundai. Jesus.
I mean, it might have something to do with the fact that tornadoes just ripped through our area and caused a bunch of death and destruction.
Well, it didn't hit my apartment. No, that's terrible.
No, that's terrible, she says through a smile.
God. No, I do. That's terrible.
You've been hanging out with me too much.
I know. I made a joke.
Let's talk about this.
I feel sorry for people when death and destruction happens. I do. I promise.
Yeah, thanks for getting us canceled.
Okay. Oh, it hasn't happened before now? I think we're good.
Nah. Our audience loves our shtick.
Right.
Yeah. So let's get into Krampus, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's celebrate the season.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't really know anything about the Krampus legend.
Okay.
I didn't know anything really. Well, the only thing I heard was that he comes and eats children. That's what I thought Krampus was.
Yeah, he, kind of like they talk about in the movie. He's the anti.
Yeah,
Kris
exactly.
Kringle, Santa Claus's shadow.
Right. That's all I knew. I'm not really read up on Krampus, to be honest with you.
Apparently, Michael Dougherty, the director, first came across Krampus when someone gave him a Christmas card that had Krampus on it. He's like, "What's this?"
Ooh.
And then became fascinated. And then a movie got made.
Well, now we need to send him a card, like a good card for Valentine's Day and shit.
There
okay,
you go.
We should work on making a card.
All right, yes.
I'll get the macaroni and glue.
Yes, do that.
So, but yes, the first scene of the movie is people running and acting like banshees, buying shit at what's called Mucho Mart, which I thought was so brilliant. It was comical and yet very, very sad.
And I loved how they filmed it. It was all done very slow motion.
Yes.
So you get to see everyone's just horrible reactions.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see them slowly trample one of the employees,
yes.
all in the name of holiday deals.
Knocks one of them off the ladder. Mm-hmm. They're pulling and this beautiful Christmas music. I love the juxtaposition and the beautiful Christmas music, and then just people literally beating each other to death and taking sweaters and pulling them apart. Like it was a mess. And it's like that literally is the human race.
It's not even an exaggeration.
No, it's not. It's just a perfect representation of what that shit looks like.
Is there hope and humanity and goodwill in the world? Yes. But also, that shit.
Right.
That shit exists.
Right. And I love that the song was, "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas."
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Terrible. We move along from this. Oh, and we meet our family in this. I didn't realize, but we meet our family. The kid dressed as the reindeer. There's a fight at the nativity scene or like a Christmas play. It's a mess, right? So we move then along from all that to a sweet little old granny making some Christmas treats, making some Christmas cookies. Did you ever make any Christmas cookies?
No, but my grandma used to make some of the best Christmas treats.
Okay.
Some krum kaga.
I'm sorry. What?
That's a word.
You can't put kaga in something. I don't think that's right. I don't think you can put kaga in a word and it be delightful.
Kaga in something. Never mind the krum.
No, not worried about that. I'm just worried about
the
kaga.
All right.
What is that?
It's
you can't even describe it. That's how much of a mess this is.
No, I'm trying to equate it to someone that uses like an app to start their car would understand.
Oh.
Hold on. Finger guns. Pew, pew, pew.
You got me.
So you basically you mix up this batter and then you roll it on an iron. And so it's basically a waffle cone, more or less.
Oh, okay.
Like a rolled up waffle cone kind of. It's like a Scandinavian, Norwegian kind of deal. My grandma used to make all kinds of that shit.
Do you put things in it, or is
you
it
can,
just
you can? You can, but it's really crisp and crumbly. So it's almost it's like a rolled up cookie, more or less.
Okay.
But yeah, super good. My grandma used to make that all the time. Mm-hmm. The peanut butter cookies with the Hershey Kiss in the middle.
Ah.
Mwah. Number one cookie of all time. Every other cookie can eat a dick.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Sure.
Don't get it twisted. I will have other cookies, but that is number one.
Right. You don't necessarily discriminate when you eat them. It's just like you'll never measure up, though.
Right. If the peanut butter cookie with the Hershey Kiss is on the table,
you always choose that one.
Mm-hmm. Eyes on prize.
Okay.
How about you?
All right. I don't remember ever making really any goodies like that, like candies or anything like that. No. No. We just had Thanksgiving dinner all over again. That's
right.
Pretty much what we did, you know.
Nothing festive.
No, nothing
at the
really.
House?
No, nothing really festive. Festive, not like let's roll this out and bake cookies, or let's make candies or whatever. Not anything like that. It was just solid food. We're gonna have turkey and dumplings again. Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
When we would always go to my grandma's, I know that. She would have, we'd have a big Christmas dinner or whatever, but I knew that, like, the krum kaga would be there. I knew lefse would be there. Remember lefse?
Oh, yeah. I had some of that, and I liked it.
That shit's delicious.
Uh-huh.
That would be there, and that would pretty much be all I ate for, like, four straight days whenever we were at my grandma's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had dumplings for days.
And Pez. A lot of Christmas Pez.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. My brother and I would always get Pez dispensers for Christmas. And, yeah, I'd load up on Pez.
Ain't nothing wrong with Pez.
Nah.
I like Pez.
Lefse, krum kaga, and Pez. That's the diet of a growing boy in rural North Dakota.
We always had barbecue sandwiches on Christmas Eve.
All right.
Yeah. Somehow we got into that tradition, and then it stayed a tradition. It was like, hey, we're going to do some simple Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day was when we had our big Christmas dinner. But we'd always have family over Christmas Eve night, and so it was like, hey, let's do barbecue sandwiches. And now it's like, I can't wait to have a barbecue sandwich.
I like it.
At Christmas Eve.
I like non-traditional holiday meals.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it's spitting in the face of, fuck your honey glazed ham. Fuck your turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a barbecue sandwich.
Give me barbecue on Christmas.
Like the Christians used to do. When they're nailing people to crosses and feeding them to lions and shit.
Right. Exactly.
Man, what it is about seeing a Christian eaten by a lion that just makes me want to eat a barbecue sandwich. I don't know. Happy holidays.
Okay, that's one of my favorite visuals I've ever had in my life. That is my favorite.
You're welcome.
Oh, all right. So, sweet old granny is making some Christmas treats, and we get our family. Adam Scott, right? Isn't that
Adam
his
Scott,
name?
Adam Scott, yep.
Yes.
Love that dude.
Love him, too. To me, he's your guy from Parks and Rec.
Yep.
To me, he's always Derek from Step Brothers.
All right. Yeah.
That's just too. And every time I'm like, gosh, he's not a dick here. But he's married to Sarah, Toni Collette. Nice.
I like her. She is currently our best crying actress.
Oh.
She can work up tears like no actress I've ever seen before.
Or pure horror, with Hereditary and different movies like that. It's so believable for her. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
They have two kids, Beth and Max. And their kid, Max, is the one who dropped another kid in the Christmas play who was ragging on Christmas. He just wants all the kids to be able to believe, and he didn't like this other kid calling out that Santa might not be real.
So let's beat the shit out of him.
So let's beat the shit out of him because Christmas.
Because America.
I like Max. Yeah. I like him. And then, here are my notes. I put, the granny's German. Danke. I'm scared of her, but she'd also be my favorite because I want her on my side. I don't know why I feel that way about Germans. I'm sorry if you're German. That's just how I feel. They're full of authority and they're a little scary.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Like, I want to be around them because I want to be like one of the ones that they keep, you know? Like, I don't I don't know what it is about Germans.
Wow.
I was being real honest about it.
No, that's legit.
That's just where I'm at.
Let the truth come out.
You know what I mean? I got nothing against them. They're just a little scary. I'm sorry.
That might be the best description of a people I've ever heard.
Right. Oh, no.
I need to teach that in school.
Man, I hope this just stays in Australia and we don't venture over into Germany anytime soon listenership.
We'll check those numbers.
You know what I mean. I like you. Anyway, so after Sarah hangs up that Christmas picture for the year of Santa staring at Beth's ass, the young teenage girl, Max asks his grandma, Omi, if she still believes in Santa. And she says, yes. She says, to believe in him is to believe in the true spirit of the holiday, a holiday of joy and sacrifice. And then she stops. And it's like,
You're German. You know something.
Omi knows what's up.
You've seen some shit.
She's seen some shit. German. Exactly. Yep. You're right. Mm-hmm. Then we get the rumblings and the shakings of the family showing up.
Oh.
Ugh. I love how fake everyone is at the family arriving, like having to take the breaths, having to get ready, and then turning on the fake smile, like, oh, so glad you're here. It was great.
It's the worst.
We've all done that.
Oh, yep.
We've all had to do it. And it's Linda and Howard, I believe, and they have 3 or 4 kids.
They're brood of shitty children.
Brood of shitty children. The one boy who just will not talk. And the two girls that are very boyish, because you later find out Howard wish he had boys, so that's why he keeps them boyish. And then the aunt shows up.
Ugh.
Aunt Dorothy, which I get, but later on in the movie, she's the funniest fucking thing in this movie to me. And she even says, where's the eggnog? I need to get Mary. And I'm like, I'm throwing that out this year.
You're getting toasted.
I'm getting toasted. That's exactly where I'm at. So then we're at dinner and Howard's kind of like Cousin Eddie, but a shitty Cousin Eddie. You know what I mean?
Just imagine when this family came rolling in, and after we got to see them for like 5 minutes, I'm like, this is a Trump flag waving, QAnon supporting, fake news spreading family.
Yes.
Not just an individual, a fucking family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wife's going to go along with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. But Howard's a dick. He's a super big dick. Fuck this family. Fuck this family. But the aunt, I think I wrote down like every line Aunt Dorothy had. She was like, Sarah didn't make a ham. She was the one in charge. It's their house. She didn't make a ham. And Aunt Dorothy's like, who doesn't make a ham at Christmas? What are you, a Jew now? I was dead. I was dead. I was like, oh, fucking Aunt Dorothy. Goddamn.
If you reach Aunt Dorothy age, do you think you're going to be Aunt Dorothy?
I literally put here, there's at some point in my notes where I was like, this is my destiny.
Yeah. Just drinking spike eggnog, hating kids.
If I make it through this world long enough, I will be an Aunt Dorothy. I would hope to be an Aunt Dorothy.
That's legit.
I mean, she's in a trailer. First of all, we find out she lives in a trailer. And, you know, so whatever.
So whatever. That right there, save this moment to, like, go back to when you embrace your fate.
Okay.
Just,
whatever this is. Yeah, Krampus episode. So at the dinner table, the kids are teasing Max about Santa. And Max had written a letter to Santa. He had been writing a letter to Santa. They found it, and they took it, and they read his letter at the dinner table, which was a very sweet letter about what he wanted for the members of his family. Like, he wanted his mom and dad, like, to be better towards each other. He thinks they just miss each other because they work a lot, and he wants Howard and Linda for things for them not to be so hard. And it was very, very sweet.
Very nice.
Very nice.
And then those dickhead kids ruined it.
Ruined it. And then there's a fight, and he gets his letter back, and he's like, all he wanted was for Christmas to be like it used to be. Don't we all want it to be back to what it used to be? At some point, if you had a good Christmas, you didn't have good Christmases.
Christmas has sucked for as long as I can remember.
I gotcha. They used to be magical for me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And when my granddad was alive. After he passed, it was like, it was turmoil in the family. And then I was like, fuck everyone. I hate you all. And then that's never left. So, yes, I would love for Christmas to go back to the way it was. But it won't. So he fights to get his letter back. And now he hates Christmas now. And he talks with his dad, who's like, you know, this is just what Christmas is. You have to try to find things that you have in common with your family. And Max thinks about sending his letter again to Santa, but he doesn't do it.
Oh, no. He
rips up his letter and he throws it out the window.
Music gets real ominous. The wind starts blowing a little colder.
There's a storm cloud up above the house.
I'm sure no good will come of this.
No, it will not. And I believe all the power goes out. We fucked up now.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it.
You done fucked up, Maxie.
The next day, we are in a nasty blizzard, no power, and there's a random snowman in the yard. But who would have built it? Everybody's out of town.
Oh, man. I've had random snowmen show up in my yard before.
Is that true?
No.
Oh. I love how a lot of times you set me up and then you just don't do it to me. Because I would have believed it if you'd have said one more line, but you didn't.
Because that's how things can go in the north. When wind starts blowing, they hit like a circular vortex and they just make snowmen.
Really?
No.
I love it.
Although, to be fair, the visuals of that waking up to that blizzard, power out, that triggered some PTSD.
Had some blizzard.
Oh, fuck.
Terrible Christmases. Okay, well, I can assume how Christmases would be shitty where you live.
Yeah.
Lived.
Mm-hmm. Past tense. We'll never again.
No.
Haven't lifted a shovel in 3 years. I ain't never going back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Good job. Yeah, yeah.
Good job, Jack.
Welcome to former Snow Shovelers Anonymous here. I've had those mornings waking up and snow has blown over a side of a house so you can't get out your front door.
Oh.
I've had that happen where I could literally go sledding off my roof. Had the heater go out when it's negative 40.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that sucks.
I'd die.
It was sheer hell. Absolute hell. One year I was in the hospital after I had lung surgery, and Rachel FaceTimed me from home, and the heater had gone out. And she didn't know how to restart the pilot light.
Like the pilot light?
Yeah, so I had to just massive, heavy painkillers and, like, just knocked on my ass from surgery. I'm, like, trying to FaceTime her through a heater. I'm like, please don't blow up. But let me tell you, when you go to bed and you're all nice and toasty and you got your thermostat set at 74 mm-hmm. and you wake up and it's 30 in your house, time to fucking move.
There could be nothing worse.
There is nothing worse.
Outside of an app not working, I don't see anything being worse.
Yeah. And then knowing that once you get that shit started up again, it's going to take like an hour for your house to warm up. Mm-hmm. And then you still have to go outside and snow blow your driveway or shovel your driveway. Nah. Nah. I was a little triggered.
Why do people live that way?
I don't know.
Why? Those should be inhabitable places.
You would think. And For decades, every fucking winter, I would think, how did the settlers do this shit?
Right.
How did the Native Americans do this shit? God. Just ridiculous.
You know, they're laughing at you like, you should have let us keep our land. And you wouldn't have had to deal with this
probably.
Stupid white men.
Right? We would have dealt with this shit for you.
Right.
Suck it up, pussy.
Fuck off, whitey.
Yeah. So just that imagery of them waking up to a frozen house on, like a Christmas Eve morning or whatever. I'm just like, oh, God.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. I suffer for my art.
Fuck you. Oh, shit. All right. So, so let's see. Everybody's out of town. They also get a lot of things start happening now. So they get a mysterious delivery that's on their front porch in a nice, pretty bag. They also let the daughter go out into the blizzard to walk like 4 blocks to go check on her boyfriend.
It's not unbelievable.
But
that shit happens.
I put here, I was like, I'm not parental or I don't feel like I'm overprotective. But this seems like a super bad idea to let her go out there in that blizzard.
Oh, 100%. But that shit happens all the fucking time.
People
up north.
Are that stupid?
Yeah.
God.
It's lessened over the years where they'll actually like close schools and businesses a lot sooner now.
Right.
But when I was in high school, I mean, they'd let, hey, school's closing down. We got a blizzard coming in. And it's like, if you were a high school kid with a job, chances are you were still going to that job.
Right.
If you had something else to do, like church activities, fuck it. You know,
mm-hmm.
The Lord will protect us.
Okay. All right. Well, I know. I couldn't believe those parents let her walk outside by herself.
Okay,
in a blizzard.
I think that's truly a northern thing, man. It's like down here with tornadoes. It's like, hey, tornado's coming. I'm going down to Quickie Mart.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I better stop.
I'm going to film it.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm going to stay outside and film it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Blizzards to Yankees are what tornadoes are to the southern folk.
I'm not going to tie down my trailer. It's fine.
Nah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
Hey, tornado sirens are going off. I'm going to go across the street, talk to Merle, see what if he has a better vantage point.
Merle doesn't think them clouds look right for tornadic activity.
Yeah.
I've heard that shit before. I'm saying there's going to be tornadoes, but those clouds don't look like it. Or those clouds look like snow, I'm telling you.
I woke up the other day when Rachel came home. She gets home like, 3-4 in the morning, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was like 70 degrees outside, warm, mm-hmm. muggy in December. And
right.
Rachel's like, this here's some tornado weather. And I was like, look at you being a Southerner for 3 years, already talking about tornado weather. So proud of you. So fucking proud of you.
That's impressive. I don't know anything that's going on by the weather.
No?
No. Mm-mm. No. People are like, oh, tornadoes are going to wake you up. I'm like, no, they're not.
No. Sleep through that shit.
I don't know what it looks like outside. I don't fucking know. So they let her go out. And when she's walking to the boyfriend's house, she sees a creature, a big creature, on one of the rooftops. And then it's just like jingling and growling, and it's hopping from rooftop to rooftop as she's running away from it and screaming. That was pretty cool.
I liked how, and we've talked about this before with other movies, I like how movies will turn very quickly. And this one turns very quickly. For mm-hmm. the first, like, because we're like 35, 40 minutes into this movie.
Sure.
And it's what has the makings of just a dysfunctional family Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now, boom,
boom,
we got ourselves a fucking horror movie.
Krampus don't play. Like, as soon as you lose your hope, he's there.
Yeah.
Boom. Transported right there.
Krampus is like, oh, we finna start some shit.
We finna do some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she eventually hides under a delivery van, and all you can see is that Krampus has on, like, a robe and chains and hooves, which is great. I appreciate, like, a goat-esque. I think we had talked about this before with Hell Comes to Huntsville at some point, but I appreciate a hoof. I'm like, oh, shit, it's got hoofs. Oh, no.
Probably run quicker with them hooves.
Right? Exactly.
Can jump from house to house.
So it leaves, but then a music box shows up. And then there is screaming, and the van is shaking, so it looks like she gone. Beth is gone.
Are you unnerved by any means by Jack in the Box?
Yes.
Are you really?
Well, because they're used so much in movies. Like, they're scary.
I have met a couple people, like, the people have the fear of clowns, also have a fear of Jack in the Boxes.
Yeah, if I come across one, I'm like, I'm not touching it. I don't play with Jack in the Box.
To me.
No.
Wow.
I don't know that I ever really owned. I don't know if I owned one or not. I don't remember owning one. If I see them anywhere, I'm like, I don't need whatever's going to pop out at me to pop out at me.
I dated a stripper one time, as we've talked about before. And we were at Toys R Us with her shitty kid.
Ugh.
And we were going through the aisle.
The worst.
I know,
place
right?
To be.
God.
Ugh.
The mistakes I've made.
I know.
And we were walking through an aisle, and I just, like, oh, Jack in the Boxes. And I go to start turning it, and I just get my hand slapped. She's like, fucking don't touch that thing. I'm like, whoa, what? She's like, fucking hate those things.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Understandable.
That's weird, but sure.
Did she elaborate anymore? Did you ask?
That was it. I was like,
You didn't ask questions?
Fucking whatever.
You're a dude. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just waited until she went to go get fucking diapers, and I went back and cranked that Jack in the Box. Tell me how to live, woman.
Don't you tell me how to live my life.
I win, bitch.
It's also still going to scare me every time. Like I know it's going to pop out. But when it does, it's still frightening because something has popped out at me. I never get used to the scare. Never.
Okay.
I'm still, you know how jumpy I am.
That's very true.
It's terrible.
You are probably in the top three jumpiest human beings I've ever met.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. Imagine me at Halloween Horror Nights. It's a fun ride for all, but still, there's a lot of jumping. So it gets late. It starts getting dark. And she was supposed to be back in an hour. That has not happened. So now they're going to go after her. The family's going to go after her. The dad, Tom, and Howard, they're going to take Howard's Hummer. And Uncle Howard is about a Hummer, like I assume anybody who buys a Hummer. Like, it's named.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, if you drove it right now, it would reach the shores of Normandy. And I'm like, that to me is everybody who's ever bought a Hummer.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I feel
fully.
That. Mm-hmm. I have not ever known someone who's owned a Humvee. Uh-huh. At one point, our radio station vehicle was a Hummer,
which makes sense.
Which, yeah, it's a rock station. It should have a loud, obnoxious station vehicle, eye-catching vehicle.
I'm all for that.
And everyone that would come up and comment on that vehicle are the type of people that would be like Howard if they owned a Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had a cousin who had a Hummer,
yeah.
So I know what I'm talking about.
What did he name it?
I don't know that he ever had a name. It was one of those I was like, I don't need to know you.
Yeah.
You got a silver Hummer? Okay.
Did he brag about the lack of gas mileage?
Right. Not that I remember. I just stayed away. I'm like, eh. I peeped that in the garage, and I was like, ah, fuck off. Even at a young age, I was like, fuck you.
Man. Does he still have it?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I mean, the shelf life on those things isn't very...
I think he probably went to a more economic car and was like, oh, maybe I should get some gas because I can't afford anything else.
Cost me $97 to fill this thing and I can make it to the end of the block.
Right. So dumb.
Yeah.
Those are dumb vehicles. So they take the Hummer and they... Omi doesn't want them to go, but they go anyway. Omi seems like she knows what's up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to mention that. Out there in the Hummer, no radio station is working, which is a bad, bad sign. That is how you get your information when everything else fails. Cell towers may fail, but radio's usually still with you. So when we lose radio, we're in a bad mess.
Although being radio people, my inside baseball thought on this was, even if the radio was on, it was going to be voice tracked anyway. It's
true.
Christmas Eve. No one's around.
No one's there.
I absolutely love when on-air personalities that don't know any better will talk about the weather when they're clearly voice tracked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day out here in Huntsville, and it's like raining cats and dogs. You're like, you recorded that yesterday.
Right. It's like, why even mention it?
Yeah.
No. Amateurs.
And it still blows my mind, too, whenever people find out that we can record that and that we're not usually live. Like, most morning shows are live, but
right,
not everyone else.
No.
There are people that are fascinated, like, when they see me at my day job, and they're like, wait, aren't you on air from, like, 7 to midnight? I'm like, yeah. Well, when do you sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never tell them any different.
Right.
Right. If I've ever tracked a shift and yeah, no.
Yeah. Sometimes I just don't care. I'm like, I'm not really there. What? And then just watch their heads explode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really? It's 2021. You okay?
Nope.
All right.
Nope. Radio's one of the last little mythical lands.
Yep.
They also think we get paid well.
Yeah.
They also think we have tickets to literally everything, that we go to every concert and we don't pay for tickets. Very false.
As I learned this week when we announced that Jack White is coming to Huntsville,
uh-huh.
I cannot tell you. Well, I can tell you. I can tell you exactly how many people have hit me up.
Oh, fuck them.
Let's see. One.
That's the worst thing you can do, by the way, is don't hit up your local DJ or a DJ friend that you have, or just an acquaintance. That's usually who it is an acquaintance that you've met somewhere. And they're like, hey, you got tickets to this? It's like, we literally do not. We have what we can give away, and that's it.
So I am not counting the people that I converse with on a daily basis or weekly basis, the people that I have interactions with. I'm just talking about people that within the last 5 years I have seen once, maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
One person I have never met in real life. Seven.
Oh,
I got seven people. And my favorite is this one. Keep in mind, before this message kicks in, the last Instagram messenger came from 2 years ago. And this one pops up. Hey, man, how you been?
Oh, you know where it's going.
I knew exactly where it was going.
You know where it's going.
I knew exactly where it was going because we just made the announcement on the air.
Uh-huh.
And then our boss texted me. He was like, hey, it's official. Jack White, August 27th, whatever. And I'm just like, sweet. And then within 5 minutes, this one comes through. Hey, man, how you been? Just left it on red for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let him know that I saw it, because I'm like, I know where this is going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good
then,
for you.
And then, like, a day later, pretty good. What's up with you? How you doing? Pretty good. Oh, Jack White's coming to Huntsville. That's awesome. Sure is. You going? Yeah. I'm making him work for it.
Right, exactly.
Making him work for it.
Yeah.
That conversation went back and forth for about 15 different comments before finally going, any chance you got any extra tickets? Left that on red for another day.
Good.
Yeah. But they're spoken for.
Fuck you. No, it's terrible. It's so aggravating.
Yeah.
Any concert that I go to, 90% of them I've paid for.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few local ones that I've been able to get a ticket from a pair that somebody else had the other ticket, who works here. And I just, thank goodness we're both single and we can just share a pair.
But also, to be fair, the radio station that you work for is not necessarily the concert. They don't play the music of the concerts that you would go to.
Correct.
So you're not.
No, I'm mooching off of you guys.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, hey, I love you guys. Do you have any staff tickets before I buy?
You're over here bumping that new Shawn Mendes, but right, you want to go see Seven Dust.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Which I think I have a secured ticket for. I'm super excited.
Nice.
But yeah, stop asking us for tickets. We don't have them.
Yeah.
We really don't.
Instead, listen to our podcast.
Yeah, that's where you can contribute. So they find an abandoned snowplow. And some destruction has happened because the keys are in it. There's nobody there, but the window was punched in. So it looks like somebody was attacked. And I put here, thank goodness the uncle has guns, because that's usually my major beef of, like, where's the gun? And then I have to say, and I don't know how redneck this makes me, but Tommy asks Howard, he's like, you packed guns on Christmas? And I honestly, literally was like, what's the problem here? In my brain, I was like, well, why wouldn't you? And I was like, oh, I see. That could be odd for other people.
It's almost like Krampus just held a mirror up to you.
Right. A real big mirror. Uh-huh. I was like, I see.
And okay. In the reflection of that mirror, uh-huh. The Second Amendment, baby.
America. Meanwhile,
I like the line where Tommy pulls out just this big obnoxious shotgun, mm-hmm. and he hands Tom like a Dirty Harry gun.
Howard does, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Howard does, and he's like, "Oh, this is heavy." He's like, "Yeah, it's the wife's."
Yeah, it's Linda's. And I understood that completely. So they're out there. They found the snowplow. Meanwhile, at the house, the family starts to hear footsteps upstairs and some banging. And Omi knows what's up. This, if you were ever questioning it, now's the time you know. Omi knows what's happening to the mm-hmm. to the family. And she's like really sitting by that fire the whole time. And this is where I was like, this is why she's got the fire going, is to protect them. And I put, we shall see if I'm correct. I was correct. Meanwhile, they make it to, Howard and Tom make it to the boyfriend's house. And they are searching for Beth. And the house is in complete disarray. A gingerbread man is even stabbed into the fridge. Demented motherfuckers. And there's hoof prints. I don't know why they do that when I say hoof, but I can't help but hoof it.
That's one of your favorite words.
It's a great word. I don't know why. Hooves and hoof. I like it. Feels good.
All right.
So anyways, then they start to hear Beth screaming and they go after her when the uncle is grabbed by something that's slithering around in the snow. And drags him down into the snow, which was pretty gnarly.
Snow sharks.
But we find out that Tom can actually shoot. And he shoots whatever it is in the snow and saves Uncle Howard. He does pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, he spent his time being a Boy Scout, but he can shoot. Good for him.
I mean, Boy Scout could fuck some shit up.
I believe that 100%. And then they go to find the Hummer. Lucinda is destroyed.
Just breaks Howard's heart.
Yeah.
Like, it was a member of the family that got murdered.
Mm-hmm. So they have this encounter. They make it home, and Howard has a very gnarly bite on his leg. Something bad happened, got a hold of him. So they're repairing the wound. They move the kids into the kitchen, and Omi says, make sure to keep the fire hot.
And there's something here that I need to comment on, too, because this is more of the how much I hate winter and how much... like seeing this in film just fucking triggers me. So 90% of this movie was shot on a soundstage.
Uh-huh.
None of it was done outdoors. Like all of the cold breath coming out was like added digitally in post and everything.
Okay.
But when they come inside, mm-hmm. their faces are all red from being whipped at by those 40 mile an hour winds, and they got the icicles like in the beard and shit. Mm-hmm. That is the worst. That is the worst fucking feeling. When they came, because when they're outside, Howard even makes a comment. He's like, oh man, this wind is fucking killing me. Like, uh-huh. I'm fucking but they're not, they don't look cold. They're not reacting to the wind the way that a normal human being
right.
reacts to that shit.
Of course.
But then when they come in, they at least added the proper mm-hmm. look of someone who has been out in that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're outside shoveling your driveway as a bearded man, you're going to have snow forming in your beard. Like
that's miserable.
It's miserable. Not uncommon to be, you know, like your nose starts running. You get like frozen snot. Yeah, it's the devil.
Why do people live like this?
I don't know.
Why?
I fucking don't know.
Why did you do it for so long?
Rachel didn't want to move.
Okay.
And I like, you know, her.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of our first quite like one of, when we first started dating. I was like, hey, would you ever think about getting the fuck out of here?
Because mm-hmm.
like once I got out, I didn't want to go back.
Right.
I just went back for like a job that had a management position. I was like, I'm going to get this management experience and I'm going to go back to somewhere warmer. And then I met Rachel and she's like, I don't want to move. And I'm like, damn it. Why do I have to like you so much?
Ah.
I could be out of here.
curse ye.
The things men do for pussy.
That's true.
Dumb
That's
sons of bitches.
So stupid.
I know.
That's okay. Women get dumb for dick, and we don't know why.
Yeah.
It's really true. We're all just stupid.
Every winter coming in with that frozen over beard, like frozen snotsicles coming out of my nose. I'm like, God damn it, Rachel. We're fucking put out hard tonight.
I mean, I believe she's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
I really do believe that.
Yeah. But now we're down here.
But now you're down here. You don't have to worry about it.
And it's all good. I just get triggered by blizzards and movies. But yeah, when they came in all like red faced and like the frozen beards, and like I'm just like, ha ha, God damn it. No. No.
No. Looks horrible. Sounds horrible.
Yep.
Gosh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you went through what you went through.
Thank you.
Thank you for your trauma.
I'm getting stronger every day.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe in you.
Every December that I can just walk around in a hoodie is a good day.
A Stitch hoodie at that, greatly love. I don't think I had pointed it out yet.
Yeah.
I love the Stitch hoodie.
Thank you.
He has your disposition on it right now.
He sure does.
Just little grouchy, arms crossed.
I know you've never seen Lilo and Stitch, but Stitch usually has my disposition. Why I identify so much.
I love it.
And that movie takes place in Hawaii where there's no snow.
Right.
No triggering.
I saw Stitch on a parade, on a float.
Yeah?
While I was in Disney. Saw him, thought of you.
Aw.
Yeah.
Thanks, fam.
You're welcome. So, Omi knows what's up with all this. And, here's where I put in my notes. I put, okay, Aunt Dorothy is hilarious and what I will probably become in my life. Because she says, watch the kids. I never liked kids, even when I was one. And I was like, same here. Same here. I was always, as kiddish as I am, I was always around the adults. And like, I didn't want to hang around with kids. I didn't want to play with kids. I just wanted to be where the adults were.
Like, that side of the family in this movie is shitty.
Uh-huh.
And the aunt is shitty too, but she's the good kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay,
she's entertaining.
Like,
I feel like she earned her stripes. Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like she's gone through some shit in her life, uh-huh, and she earns her being such a bitch.
I also like that actress. Like, everything she's in, she kind of has that demeanor, mm-hmm, to her. Like, when you need that character, that's who you get.
I never knew her. I remember her being the, because I always watched what the adults watched. She was the housekeeper, right, in 2.5 Men? I think she was. And
probably,
she had that disposition, and it was hilarious.
I think you might be right.
That's, I think, where I first heard of her, or first saw her. But I've seen her in several different things, and she plays that character well.
Yeah.
So, also, when she's with the kids, she teaches them how to make peppermint schnapps, and she's giving them all sips, which I was like, I want to be that.
So,
can't wait.
So here's a fun fact. Krampus, the movie, is rated PG-13.
Okay.
That scene almost got them an R rating because the kid is sipping alcohol. The point counterpoint was, oh, okay, but a child later on being devoured by a clown monster? Like that, like swallowed whole by a clown monster.
Right.
That's okay?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we can't have kids drinking.
God, I fucking hate that shit.
It's so dumb.
It's so stupid.
The MPAA is such a fucking scam anyway.
It is.
But that's a whole nother podcast. We'll talk about that some, mm-hmm, other day. But
we'll talk about them one day, the PMRC. We'll talk about all those people one day.
Yeah.
Fuck them all.
Yep. We're just going to go down the list.
Fuck you, Tipper Gore. Anyway. So they decide now that there's something on the loose. They don't know what it is. And so they decide they're going to board up the house, the windows, the doors, and they're going to stay put in the house. Beth's just going to be on her own at this point. Beth is out there. We've not found her. We're not going to go find her. We're just going to leave her out there.
I mean, that is the smartest decision ever made in horror.
It is the smartest decision.
Yeah.
But even I was like, really? Come on. You got to go find her.
That's because you're so conditioned to having movie people go out and do stupid shit.
It's true.
If they went out and found her, you'd be like, why are you going out?
That's true.
That's so stupid.
That's true.
I got a problem with this movie now.
She's probably.
Where are the guns? Why can't they jump cars?
Okay. I'll go with it.
Is that a fair critique?
It's a very fair critique. Very accurate. You bitch.
I will wear that bitch with pride.
So Beth's out on her own. They're boarding up the house. And Max is, he makes a comment that he's worried about Omi and says she's been different since the storm. And Tom says, well, she's, because this is Tom's mother, correct?
Yes.
He says she's always different or a little, like, you know, kind of on edge at Christmas. But then we don't get anything else on that conversation. And it's like, oh, shit, what's going on with German Granny? What's going on? Now, we've boarded up the house, and Uncle Howard is actually nice, and he thanks Tom for saving his life, because he did. And he says he's going to take the first watch on the house. But we jump cut, and the whole family is asleep. Howard did not make good on his promise. Nah. He was not watching out at all. So the whole family is asleep, and then we cut to the fire, which is almost out.
And Omi said to keep that shit blazing.
She said to keep it hot, and we didn't keep it hot. Mm-mm. And then we start to get some sounds again, and a hook comes down the chimney with, like, a gingerbread toy wrapped in the chain. Like we're fishing for kids?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, that's fantastic. Awesome. Yep. And I put, of course, that little fat fuck goes after it, because I would have chilled.
that future diabetic just going right after
right.
it.
Right. Little, and he's like the embodiment of Hansel and Gretel. Like, he's one of them, whichever one was which. Hansel. So he goes after the gingerbread, never minding the chain and the hook, and the gingerbread man is alive.
Right after he takes a bite out of him.
Right after
which
he takes
I thought
a bite.
Was great.
Yes. And so the gingerbread man takes the chain, wraps it around him, hooks it around, and something starts to pull the kid, Howie Jr., up the chimney. We can do that now because there's no fire.
Yep.
We were supposed to keep the fire hot. So they all recognize what's happening, and they try to pull him back down. We get him so far, but he's gone.
And this is another example of Toni Collette just being a fucking amazing actress. She sold that scene.
When she sees the gingerbread man, just her face, yes.
Like, she jumps in the chimney after him, like, grabs on him, and, like, every expression on her face was believable and sold it, no matter how ridiculous of a premise that was. Mm-hmm. She committed. I'm like, holy shit. This woman is fantastic.
Love her.
Super underrated actress.
Absolutely.
Even though she gets a lot of accolades, mm-hmm. she needs more.
She needs more. She deserves more. Mm-hmm. So Howie Jr.'s gone. Howard's like, my phone, I want to watch him.
I love the extra added fuck you to Howard at the end when he's screaming up the chimney and the one shoe just falls, hits him on the head. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Merry Christmas.
That would that would suck even more. And Omi says he's come for us all. She knows what's up.
Mm-hmm.
It started with the wind. Oh, God. And so she starts to tell a story. And she says, once upon a time, on a night like this, it was almost Christmas, but darker and less cheerful. But she still believed in Santa and in magic. But the village had forgotten the spirit of Christmas, and her family was no different. So she began to give up on Christmas, and she didn't wish for a Christmas miracle. She only wished for all of them to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've all wished like that at some point. So she got her wish. An ancient spirit came, the shadow of Saint Nicholas, Krampus. And he and his helpers came to punish and dragged her family into the underworld. But he left Omi as a reminder of what happens when hope is lost and the Christmas spirit dies.
Also, I loved how they told that story in animation.
I did too, surprisingly.
Because normally you don't like that one.
Normally I didn't. I didn't like that with, what was it, Kill Bill or whatever it was
Kill
that
Bill,
I didn't like.
Didn't they do that in Trick or Treat too? There was a sequence. I think it was the end credits maybe.
Maybe
where but I know there was like an animation sequence like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really dug that.
I was okay with it because I liked the rest of the movie, so I was like, I accepted it. So she tells that story. She was left behind. Now Uncle Howard, he doesn't buy this twisted fairy tale crap. Fuck this shit.
Because I mean, what Trump supporter, QAnon, freak would actually believe the shit when it happens.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly, right in front of him. He does make the remark, he was like, she'll be ranting about rabid Easter bunnies come spring. I was like, that's actually funny.
I'd watch that movie.
Right? Come on. What was his name?
Mike Dougherty.
Mike Dougherty, get on it, bro.
Come on, man, we need a take on the Easter bunny.
I think we need Easter next. Easter's going to be great.
How did the crucifixion of Jesus yield a bunny?
We need a zombie Christ.
Yeah.
Dragging a cross.
I'm with it.
I'm in for it.
Yeah.
None of this blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus either. I want him authentic.
That's right.
So,
I want him authentic.
So he is going to go outside to find the kids because Beth is gone and Howie Jr.'s gone. When he opens the door, there's now a bunch of snowmen, creepy snowmen, in front of the house and like some crazy giggling, and you can see some kind of figures going from snowmen to snowmen. So they decide to go back in the house. They do not go outside.
Again, smart move.
Smart move. We've now made it to Christmas Eve. We know this through an advent calendar, in case you're questioning my logic here.
Yeah, because, I mean, the app would be down.
Correct.
At this point.
It would be.
Yeah.
Sad day. Rest in peace.
But an old analog advent calendar. that's how you know what's up.
But then I wouldn't remember what door I had pulled or what time of day it was. So really, it's not really all that accurate, to be honest, because it's all dark at all times. So how do you know it's the next day? We're a little iffy here.
Okay, that's fair.
That is fair. So, for all intents and purposes, we are on Christmas Eve, and Tom comes up with a plan. He was like, we got to go get the snowplow, which still has the keys in it, and that will lead the convoy out of here so that they can go and find some help out there. That's going to be the plan. During this, we see presents that are rattling and making noises, so keep that in mind. And we see the outline of Krampus in the binoculars, his shadow. He's now been spotted. Goodness gracious. Jordan and Stevie, Howard and Linda's daughters, that look like boys, but they're daughters, they go upstairs because Aunt Dorothy clogged the toilet, so they're going to go use a different toilet. And they get lured by a voice that they think is Beth's. But there's some sinister giggling. Oh, no. So the rest of the family, they hear screaming. So they run upstairs and they go searching for the girls. And then one of the most frightening things I've ever seen in my life happens in this next scene. It is a jack-in-the-box eating the kids. It's like this big, fat, huge jack-in-the-box out of the box.
Yeah.
And it is swallowing one of the kids.
Yeah, just imagine, like, what I loved about the look of this creature was the box itself was just a small,
normal-sized box.
Fucking box. And then out of it came this large, like 20-foot clown worm hybrid with a tri-part opening jaw.
It was like it, the clown. It was like how its mouth had all those teeth. Yes.
Yep. And they get up there just in time to see the feet going down the gullet of this demonic jack-in-the-box.
It was, and then to see its face, it was disgusting.
Uh-huh.
It was super, super scary.
That was gnarly.
Oh, man. So, yes, it's super fucked up. I put here super alarming. That's my note. Super alarming.
I am now on alert.
Right. So, mayhem's going on up in the attic. This is up in the attic. Downstairs, Howard is getting attacked by gingerbread men. Multiple gingerbread men.
One of them was voiced by Seth Green. Another one was voiced by Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty.
Get out!
Yeah.
I love that. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
That's fun. I like
also,
that.
Also, there was another fun little Easter egg earlier in the movie I forgot to bring up. When they're going through some of Max's candy, the lollipop dagger from Trick or Treat is in there.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I was probably taking a note. I didn't see it.
Probably being a good note taker.
What a fucking idiot, little dweeb.
Checking my app, refreshing it, seeing if I can get my car started.
I wanted it to heat up for those 10 minutes before I got in it. So he's getting attacked by gingerbread men in the attic. Is that the Christmas tree angel? that comes to life. Yeah. Okay. And it starts attacking. Terrible. We now have the presence coming alive. So like the teddy bear's alive and the toys are coming to life and attacking the family. Demonic toy robot. Oh my God, Jack. Can you imagine if all your Transformers got possessed and came to life? Like, that would be the best way for you to go. Like, you would be so excited you would be taken down by Transformers, would you not?
See, you put that spin on it. I put this spin on it. I walk into my Transformer and my Transformers are alive. I'm like, all right, let's roll out, motherfuckers. Next thing you see, me leading a robot toy army down the parkway on our way to World Conquest.
You think they would accept you as their leader?
Yeah.
You have been taking care of them this whole time. You dust them. You rotate them around.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't toss them aside like Andy did in Toy Story.
True.
Nah, fuck that. I hope you've seen Toy Story.
I have.
All of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not number 3.
Okay.
I've seen 1, 2, and 4.
God damn it. Yep. That's how you do. That is how you watch things. In sequential order.
I'm going to go back and rewatch them because Toy Story Land was awesome at Disney, and now I'm in the Toy Story spirit. I'll get there.
Okay.
Okay.
Sequentially, I hope.
Sure. I'll start with number 1 first. The number 2, the number 3, and then number 4.
Man, this 5th Harry Potter movie is really good. Should I go back and watch the others?
I never did that with Harry Potter. Harry Potter, I got right.
Look at you.
Because I knew I wouldn't know what the fuck was going on.
I'm proud you got one.
Thank you. Jerk.
Honestly, while we're here, a small part of me expected you to have watched a different Krampus movie because there are several.
There were several. But do you know how? But before I rented it, do you know what I did?
Do tell.
I went back and I Googled Trick or Treat and I found who directed it, and then I looked him up, and then I got the Krampus movie that he did.
I'm very proud of you.
Because there were several Krampus, and I thought, I don't want to ask Jack and look like a dumbass. So I listened to the last of our podcasts. You didn't say 2015's Krampus. I was like, God damn it. And I was like, oh, it's Trick or Treat guy. So then I had to do all this research, and then I figured out which one it was.
I
So you can suck my hypothetical wiener. Because I got it.
As I was about to start firing up the movie to watch it again, I almost texted you to be like, by the way, make sure you rent this one.
It would have been needed, probably.
But then I was like, it would also be fun to come prepared to talk about 2015's Krampus, and you're talking about some other one.
When I looked up Krampus and I saw all the options, I literally thought, Le Swarm!
Le Swarm, yep.
If you missed it, during Hell Comes to Huntsville, the guys came in talking about The Swarm, and I ended up watching a movie called The Swarm also that was done about grasshoppers and not the swarm that they watched.
Yeah, we watched like a 1974 movie. Mm-hmm. You watched a 2020 movie.
Yes.
It made for some great podcasting.
It was. It was fun, but I didn't want to do it again because I really wanted to see what we were going to talk about today.
And I thought we were going to capture that lightning in a bottle again, but no, here you came. You did your due diligence.
I did my work.
I'm proud of you, Foster.
Thank you. Thank you, Spade.
Now if we can just get you watching movies in the right order, fuck, we'll make you a quality human just yet.
Look, one step at a time, my friend.
I mean, that's
one step at a time.
That's all I can ask for.
So it's kind of comical what's going on with the toys, but it's also very scary. It is super scary.
Very Gremlins-esque in that tone. Like you're right. It's terrifying, but funny.
The angel is also hanging Sarah with Christmas lights.
Yep.
But she's still being hanged. So, like, it's dark, but it's kind of goofy, but you're offset. You don't know really how to feel about it, you know?
You ever been choked out by Christmas lights?
No.
No?
Have you?
No.
I don't want to know why. If you have.
I was just thinking, you know, all those people that are into that, like, if they switch it up to Christmas lights around the holidays.
I don't want to be that close to death, ever. You know what I mean? I don't need that to have a good time. That's
especially with Christmas lights.
No, that's not the kind of festive I want to be.
Yeah, that's fair.
Thank you. So they're dealing with these toys. They all eventually are able to get free. We cut down the wire. Linda, I think, goes with an axe and she just loses her shit. She doesn't get her kid back, though. The Jack in the Box takes off with only one of the kids. We still have one left. They eventually all get free and they go downstairs. And downstairs, we can still hear all the toys like grumbling and making noise. So Max lets the Howard brought a dog and lets the dog into the vent, and it chases the Jack in the Box to where it falls into the living room.
I also, backing up just a minute, I love the shot where Howard is about to get murdered by the last gingerbread man because he ran out of shotgun ammo, and he just like closes his eyes and turns his head, but then nothing happens, and then the camera pans over and there's the dog. He just ate the gingerbread man.
He ate the gingerbread
man. That was great.
Thank goodness. So it falls into the living room and the shit is on again. We're fighting again, and then we find out that Aunt Dorothy can fucking shoot. It's nice. This is a nice family. They all know how to aim and shoot. I mean, the bitch been skeet shooting before at some point because there's something that gets tossed in the air and she just nails it. But as good as she is, she's no good for what's about to happen. Fucking elves.
Goddamn elves.
You know what would have improved that Thor movie? Elves like these.
Yep.
These elves. They bust literally into the house and they look freaking gnarly.
Very good look to all the creatures, but those elves especially, like, they were here to do some work.
Super scary.
We're on that home invasion tip. And we're coming for your shit.
Exactly. So they chain up Aunt Dorothy, who, like, just takes it and is like, see in hell. Like, that's where we're going. I'm like, that's the attitude I want to have. Yep. You know, you can't fight it. I just ought to be like, I'll see you in hell, baby.
Yeah. No point to struggle. Just like, all right, well, I had a good run. Now I'm chained up.
Yeah.
I'm being dragged away by elves.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew it would end like this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Phew. Phew. They take the baby as well. I thought they were going to eat it. They didn't eat it yet. They just took the baby.
Quick aside on that, one of the, because whenever they make a movie, like the studio always like, oh, we have notes. We have things to say about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently in the first cut of this movie, there was a lot more of that crying fucking baby. And they were like, cut down on the crying baby.
Thank you.
Thank you for everyone.
I don't need to be tortured.
Nah.
I want to enjoy a horror movie. I don't want to be tortured.
Yeah. If you have kids and you see a crying kid in a movie, I think that fucks you up. If you don't have kids and you see a crying kid in a movie, it definitely fucks you up.
It's worse.
It's instant birth control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't want, like, eat the kid. Eat the fucking kid.
Exactly. Yep. So before the elves can take more of the family, they begin to hear a rumbling or a sound. Something's coming. So the elves scatter away. And something's on its way. Big footsteps.
Mm.
Could they be hooves? Hooves?
Ooh.
So they head out of the house. They're like, we got to go. Now we've got to do our plan. So they head out of the house to try to make it to the snowplow. Omi will not leave the house. She wants to face Krampus. She's already had a run-in with Krampus, and she's trying to help the family save some time. I love the shot of Krampus sliding down the chimney.
And the wall just slowly
wall
bursts
splitting.
Out. Mm-hmm. This is how I know I'm old, because none of what just happened in the last 20 minutes of this movie scared me at all.
Mm-hmm.
All the damage to that home really fucked me up. I was like, oh, God, because Rachel and I just had to replace our roof because we had some storm damage. We got water in our roof. It went through the attic. We had to replace all that shit. That was a fucking process, man. Uh-huh. That sucked. Every time you get like little dings or scratches or fucking, like, if you got to do home repairs,
right?
It sucks.
Yeah.
And when Krampus is coming down that chimney, my only thought was, I wasn't like terrified for Omi. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be some scary shit. I'm like, God, that, like, you're gonna have to find a good drywaller for that.
So do you know what's funny? So I don't own a home, but I am an adult, right? So it wasn't at this point, but it was at some other point. It might have been when the Jack in the Box comes through the second floor and it comes down into the living room. But at one point during this movie, I went, how do you explain this to someone? Like, if you go to get repaired, what do you tell them happened? Like, your homeowner's insurance. I'm like, who do you tell? What do you say to them when you've made it through this?
When you call the insurance guy.
Exactly. There was at one point, I don't know which one it was, but I was like, how do you explain what happened here?
Well, actually, Mr. Spade, as you can see here on line 97 of your insurance policy, your homeowner's policy does not cover acts of Krampus.
Right. No Christmas critters.
No Christmas critters. So unfortunately, you're on your own. I can give you the number of a guy. Might be able to cut you a deal, but yeah, unfortunately.
Right. And that's exactly the shitty thing that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you just burn it.
I wouldn't have had any PTSD from the Christmas critters attacking. It would have been the home repairs.
The worst fight would have been trying to get your insurance to cover your home.
Yep. And then if they do cover it, then your rates go up. And it's not like you can go switch insurance companies because they see you had a claim on your policy before. Terrifying. That's the shit that keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
I watch a million kids get eaten by Jack in the Boxes, sleeping like a baby. Thinking about chimney repairs. Huh. Waking up in a cold sweat. Running out to check it, make sure everything's legit. Making sure them fires are hot.
Krampus, come here.
Properly stoked.
That's terrible. That's really funny to me. So Krampus, he slides down the chimney, busting out the wall, and he is a big, gross motherfucker. He's got like claws and chains and just, is that a mask he's wearing,
wearing
or is that
some
his
dude's
face? He's wearing some dude's face. Mm-hmm. He's like wearing a Santa knockoff's face.
Mike Dougherty said that it is someone's face, like Krampus's real face is behind that.
Okay, I figured.
And he's just like, I'm not going to tell you who it was. I'm not going to tell you like what it is.
I like that.
I like it too.
I like that.
Leave some mystery. You don't need to explain the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks gnarly as shit. We got a little bit of Leatherface with our Krampus.
We did. I always appreciate a little dash of Leatherface.
Yeah.
Anytime. So it has come into the house. We then cut to the family trying to make their way to the plow. And now whatever attacked Howard is back. So Tom tells the family, you just need to go to the snow plow. I'm going to take care of whatever's slithering in the snow, right? He's going to stay behind and shoot this thing. It ends up taking him. Very sad loss we got here with Tom. It also makes its way to Linda and Sarah at different points. Sarah's gone, tells Max she loves him, boom, down into the snow. It gets Linda out of the snowplow. Max is the only one left and in the snowplow. Oh, with one of Linda and Howard's daughters. I'm sorry. That's the two of them. The snowplow will not start, of course.
Nah.
At least the kid's trying. I'm like, again, good choices in this movie.
Yep.
And then the motherfucking elves show up. They're still a thing. And they take the daughter that was left. So now only Max is left. And Krampus finds him. Because Krampus got the grandmother. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Krampus got Omi. And now Krampus is here. And he finds Max. And what does he do? He gives Max his crumpled up letter that he threw out the window. And that, what is it, a little bell?
Little
is it like
bell,
a jingle
yep.
bell?
Yeah.
It's got Krampus.
In German, it says, greetings from Krampus.
Ah, okay.
Now, there are two points in this movie where I would have personally ended it before it ended.
Hmm.
This is the first point.
Okay.
How awesome would it have been if he gave him the letter, dropped the bell, credits?
Good.
That'd have been fucking dope.
Right. Yes. I agree with you 100%.
But then it kept going.
But it kept going. And you hear Omi's voice as he's looking at the bell. And it says, she's saying, he left me as a reminder of what happens when hope and spirit die. And Krampus walks away. So Max is left.
Getting on his fucking demon sleigh from hell.
Uh-huh.
That thing looked wicked.
Yep.
I want one.
I know you do.
I would roll around in that shit all year long.
You'd never go to work.
Ever. Oh, I would. I would go to work in that.
In the sleigh?
Yep. Oh, here comes Jack in that Krampus fucking sleigh. Look out. We're going to be part of his elf army.
I'd just be waiting for you outside the door here at the radio station. Can I have a ride?
Hop on.
Yes!
Let's go.
So he takes off and leaves. And Max not happy about this. So he sets off to find Krampus, and he finds Krampus and the toys in like this hut that they've made, like like a ceremonial hut or whatever, their little land. They're having a good time. Looks like they're having a little kickback with all the destruction they've made for the day. And he tells Krampus, he yells and he says, I take back my wish. Give me back my family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now the ground starts crackling.
And it opens up to hell. And Max is pleading with Krampus. Take me instead. Take me. And I thought that Krampus was going to fall for it, but he doesn't.
I like how he takes that long claw and just like caresses one of the tears.
Mm-hmm.
And then as this is happening, there is a literal portal, like a pit to hell.
Yes.
Open in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought Krampus was going to have a turn of heart. I thought he was going to take the bait, but he didn't. And then he and all of the Woodland Critter Christmas characters start laughing at Max.
And then they just picks Max up and he throws him in the pit to hell.
Yeah.
This would have been number two spot where I ended the movie.
Understandable.
Like the camera is looking down. Max is just descending into the pit. Flames engulf him. Credits. I'd have fucking loved that too.
Mm-hmm.
That'd have been a great end. I love a good fuck you ending if it's done right.
Right.
And there are very
most
few
recently,
movies.
I spit on your girl. No. No. What was that? What was the movie we just watched that had a great fuck you ending? Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah.
That was a great fuck you ending.
Yep.
She's gone. Boom. Done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen Dodgeball, right?
Yes.
So the original cut of Dodgeball was supposed to end immediately after Peter LaFleur gets knocked out of the game.
Oh.
So like Ben Stiller's character throws a dodgeball when he's not looking. He gets hit. He loses the game. Credits.
Yeah.
And the studio's like, no. We can't end on a note like that. Why? Why not?
Mm-mm.
It's called an underdog story.
Mm-hmm.
Like the underdogs don't always win.
Right.
Most times they lose. Losing happens to people a lot.
Exactly.
That would have been so good.
Uh-huh.
Like I like that. I like the ending we got in Dodgeball, but like that would have been a much better ending.
Right.
Like you don't always need a good, happy, upbeat ending.
We don't need to wrap it up in a bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially since you've basically, in this movie especially, you've taken all the tropes of a Christmas movie and you've put them within the realm of a horror movie. Like, you can totally end it on a fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you still kind of technically
did.
We'll talk about it in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why not put an exclamation point on it?
Right.
Sending the kid to hell, perfect exclamation point.
I thought that's where it was going to end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yes, he throws him down into the pit of hell, and credits don't happen. It just cuts to Max in his bed, and everything is back to normal. He, like, wakes up screaming, so he's had a nightmare. Everything's fine. Everything's normal. The neighbors are back. The neighborhood is back together. It's a normal Christmas day.
However, everything is much brighter.
It's too shiny.
And too shiny. Yeah, much shinier than even it was in the beginning
yes,
of the movie.
Yes, too shiny.
And you're like, well, okay, wait, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. There's still going to be a twist, maybe.
It's too much light. And the family is downstairs, and everybody is nicer than normal. Everybody's nice. Everybody's mm-hmm. having a good time. People are joking. It's just, and Aunt Dorothy said she hasn't been this hungover since the Pope died. Dad. And Omi's alive, and Christmas is beautiful and shiny and pretty. And then Max gets a gift, and he opens it, and it's that Krampus bell. And then the family sits there, and they begin to remember everything that happened to them
mm-hmm.
on that night, which really did happen. And then the camera pans out, and you see that they are in a snow globe.
Surrounded by hundreds of other snow globes.
In Krampus's lair. Oh, no.
Now credits.
Now we have the credits. It all happened. They're in the snow globe. That's the end of the movie.
Now,
there
are a couple fan theories for this ending.
Okay.
One of which being the family is, I mean, they're just trapped in this snow globe.
Mm-hmm.
And like Krampus checks in on them, and that's like, or I'm sorry, I'm screwing that up. They're basically like in hell. They're in the hell of like having to live this Christmas over and over and over
again.
That's
what I assumed.
Yeah. And then there was apparently, let me find my note on it. There was a comic book that came out that added to the lore and the legend. So let me see where I put it. I'm super prepared for this one.
Jack, I swear to God, like, do you not have an app for this? Could you not have saved this somewhere?
Oh, shit. No,
I mean,
like,
but
no.
Hey, you know what? While you're doing that, I'm going to check on my car app and see if it. Services are currently unavailable due to system issues. We're working quickly to resolve. It's been at least 2 hours.
That is no bueno.
What?
Why?
We apologize for the inconvenience. Oh, fuck you. I don't know how cold I was in my vehicle today.
Jesus.
Ass hats.
Wow.
Anyways, did you find what you were looking for?
No.
God almighty. Google it, you son of a bitch.
Whoa.
Google it. Google it.
I don't know why, but I got knocked back out of my.
Okay,
I got it here. So, found it. The family, they're trapped in the snow globe, and they're condemned to repeat Christmas morning for eternity in a twisted version of hell.
Okay.
Or they were given a second chance, and the snow globe is Krampus's means of watching over them.
Oh. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Well, I like that one.
I like the condemned to hell.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
That's on brand.
That's, yeah. You're right. Like, you fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in a snow globe for eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I never read the comic book. I didn't, in fact, until I found out that little tidbit, I never knew that there was a comic book to tie in with this movie. I know they did it for Trick or Treat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't know that one existed.
Didn't Trick or Treat have like the comic book-esque stuff in the movie? Wasn't that the animation part? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then they expanded on that with like a graphic novel and stuff. And
I kind of want to read a comic about Krampus.
All right. We'll track that down.
We'll do it. That could be my first comic book I ever buy.
Yeah, we got it. We still got
it. That's right. We still have to do that. I wanted a Captain America comic book. Did we ever go back to that after we finished Marvel?
You never told me officially that you wanted a Captain America comic book. I don't think. I think you were still going back and forth.
I was going back and forth, maybe.
Yeah.
I choose Captain America.
All right. You chose wisely.
I know.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get back to that. We have good ideas, and they'll eventually come back. It's fine. It's like Warriors eventually came back.
We're good. Yeah,
we're good.
Like
yeah,
someone somewhere is like, God, when is she gonna get her first comic book? I've been waiting since Endgame, motherfucker.
I mean, I know people are really that invested in this podcast.
At least a couple.
I know. Yeah.
Some lurkers in the shadows.
Yeah, it's bound to happen.
So overall, Krampus enjoyable? Yes,
I love Krampus.
Best Christmas movie ever?
Sure. Why the fuck not? People died. It's great. People lost their spirit, they lost their hope, and then they died for it, and then they got stuck in eternal hell.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Plus German ladies.
Yeah, plus German ladies. Again, like you've done this before, that's the review I want on the poster. It was Christmas and people died and German ladies.
Yeah.
How many stars are you giving Krampus?
I'll give it 4.
I'm going 3.5 hoes out of 4. Hoes.
I like it.
I like Krampus. I have not watched any of the others, though.
Okay.
Because there's like a Krampus 2 that Mike Dougherty didn't have anything to do with. There's like a Krampus Origins movie.
See, I don't need that.
Again, don't need it. Don't want it.
Nope.
I'm guessing the diminishing returns hit immediately after the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Nope, I am good. I am good with our guy. Mike Dougherty?
Mike Dougherty.
Yep. Good job, brother.
Dude has a solid track record with me between Krampus and Trick or Treat and then Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
He did King of the Monsters?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, good film.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, I think we could hang out, sir. You know, just be nerds and talk about your upcoming take on an Easter movie.
Oh my God, I'm so ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Big fan.
Yeah, I like the dude's work. Curious to see what else he's working on. He keeps talking about a Trick or Treat sequel. He needs to make that happen.
I trust him.
Yep.
I'm going to put my trust in him.
I think Trick or Treat as a movie lends itself better to a sequel than Krampus would.
We talked about that before, yes, because it's multiple stories.
Yeah, just that anthology nature of it. You have Sam tying everything in.
Mm-hmm.
I like how we're bringing up Halloween at the end of our...
We've brought it up
Christmas.
A lot.
Yeah.
But it all ties in together correctly because, A, this is a horror movie, and B, it's the same dude.
Yep.
We really like that movie.
We really like Halloween more than Christmas.
Exactly.
As illustrated by the point that we reviewed 31 horror movies and 4 Christmas movies.
Major truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like your traditionalist Christmas movies, like Krampus? Oh, Christmas movie. Oh, no. Horror.
It's supposed to be angels and snowmen. And
it goes against the meaning of Jesus, I say, as I trample a holiday worker on Black Friday.
God, I hate people.
Because you know that hypocrisy exists.
I know it does.
I'm just going to stomp this dude for a cheap blender, but I'll be forgiven about it on Sunday. Yeah.
A fucking men. Uh-huh. God, I hate people like that. I really fucking do.
There's a, like, I know that memes that go around, like, to a certain extent, they're like half-truths.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one meme that floats around out there I've seen multiple times, and it is 90 to 100% true. And it's like a picture of, like, some old lady smiling. She's like, I just spent the morning at church. Now it's time to go be rude to some waiter.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
It is so fucking true.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And go pile up in a Red Lobster somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
Man.
It always surprised me that they'll go to church like that, and they won't drink and do things like that, but they'll go eat at a restaurant that serves alcohol and be rude to the staff.
Yeah.
I always fucking hated that shit.
It's the rudeness that kills me.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a sore spot.
It's the hypocrisy, because that's hypocrisy at the end
of
the day.
Oh, it totally is.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
But having been in a service industry at one point, my wife is a bartender, you know, so she deals with that shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just be fucking civil.
Just, yeah. If you need something, just ask in a nice way.
Yeah.
Why is that so hard?
Right.
You know? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're blatantly just a shithead, that's one thing. But a lot of servers are just trying to do what they need to do.
I think the worst of it, probably Cracker Barrel. Just a bunch of old bitty white folks.
I'm going to be honest with you. I fucking love Cracker Barrel.
Yeah?
I'd go eat there every day if I could. For every single meal.
Next time you go get that deep fried turkey, you take a look around, notice how many of them old folk are just being rude.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like just being old. And it's not even necessarily the old folk. It's just like, you can be like in your 30s and be a dickhead.
True. Yeah. Hmm. God, I really want Cracker Barrel. They serve alcohol now.
They do.
They
yes.
do. Ours does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God damn it. Okay, let's hurry this up.
All right.
I'm going to go get me some dumplings and mimosas. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of that goes together and sounds disgusting, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
So we have got one more holiday film to review.
Yes, we do.
Now, throughout this podcast, sometimes we go a little more obscure like we did today. We did Krampus, a movie that made $61 million at the box office. Did not set the box office world on fire.
Mm-mm.
Not necessarily considered a holiday classic, although I'm throwing it in.
That's me stamping it as a classic.
Yep, stamping it in. Krampus is now an official holiday movie here at Huntsville Home Video. The movie I want to watch next week is... by I think everyone's account, a Christmas classic.
Oh, okay.
This is falling under those writing of a wrong categories.
There's a lot of them here at this time of the year.
There are a lot, because like I said, even though we show you a lot of obscure flicks, we also show you movies that people go, how the fuck have you never seen that? And you always say, at this point, haven't you learned by now? But every now and again, no, I haven't learned. Sometimes I forget that stove is hot. And I'm like, Jesus. We are going to review
Which
a movie
one?
That is on television 24 hours a fucking day at Christmas.
I know which one it is.
Leanne Foster, you have never seen A Christmas Story.
No, I haven't. I know. And every time I've ever said that, people have said the same fucking thing. It's on TV all day long.
Yeah.
No. Never seen it.
I mean, even with your knack of watching things out of order,
right,
you could have conceivably seen segments of this movie out of order all fucking day.
Right.
Like, you could have watched, like, the second act, taken a nap, come back, watched the first, woke up Christmas morning, watched the third.
That sounds on brand, and but I never did it.
No, and that didn't even happen.
No. Is this the one that's got the leg lamp and he's after a gun, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I know.
Okay.
I know what the kid looks like.
All right.
I don't know anything else about A Christmas Story.
But you're aware of, like, of the leg lamp and the BB gun.
Yeah,
and,
but I don't know what he's after a BB gun for his birthday, for Christmas.
You don't know the context.
I don't know the context with it, and I don't know the context of the leg lamp. Like, I know it's from there, but I don't know anything about this movie.
My God.
I know. It's wild.
Even being a person that doesn't give a shit about Christmas, I don't get into the festive spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love this movie.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Again,
like, you know what? For this one,
time,
for this one, you should,
be.
You should be.
I know.
I am foregoing. I am not accepting your apology on any Arnold Schwarzenegger film. I'm like, okay, I get it. It could conceivably happen. This one, how the fuck?
I really don't know. I really don't know.
Man.
Mm-hmm. I can't. I really honestly cannot explain myself. I got nothing. I'm trying to be like, well, you know what? We don't sit around on Christmas and watch movies, and we don't. But I could have hit this movie at any point, at any time. Like, it's like watching Christmas Vacation. It's just that popular, you know. And
you've seen Christmas Vacation?
I know it word for word, but I don't know Christmas Story. I never have gotten up the gumption to watch it, and I apologize to everyone who is very confused, which is all of you.
So next week,
okay,
we will right that wrong.
It is a wrong that needs to be righted.
Yeah. Our journey to making you a better person continues next week.
By God, I appreciate it, because somebody's got to do it.
I mean,
you know,
we got our work cut out for us here at Huntsville Home Video, but by God, it is the good work.
You're chipping away
yep.
at all the bad parts.
Yep. Yes, we are. A Christmas miracle comes our way next week on Huntsville Home Video. So we will be back next Monday chatting about Leanne's first viewing of A Christmas Story. It feels so weird saying that in 2021.
I know. Is this the movie you've gotten most upset at me about? No.
Kind of.
Okay.
I think
it's
between.
The most
I think.
Boggling.
I think. When we came to the realization that you had never seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie until we were reviewing Kindergarten Cop, and that was your first movie, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah.
But this one, I mean, this is just one of those movies, even people that don't watch movies, even my dad, who notoriously like thinks all movies are dumb, has seen this movie. He's like, yeah, it's cute.
Like, how?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like okay. I know my dad has seen that. My dad doesn't give a shit about any movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is just one of those movies, I think, that comes with being an American.
Ah.
Like, when even immigrants, when they come in and they become naturalized citizens, when they take their oath, they're like, here's your citizenship papers and a copy of A Christmas Story. You will adhere to our morals and culture, or we will condemn you to hell.
That seems pretty legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like Hindu grocery store. And it's like, oh, Merry Christmas. Don't shoot your eye out, kid. Which you'll understand that reference next week.
Right. I've heard that.
Okay.
I guess he gets the BB gun.
Maybe.
Okay.
You'll find out.
I don't know.
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Thank you.
No,
I've gotten this far.
No early Christmas presents here at Huntsville Home Video. But yeah, we will be back next week chatting about A Christmas Story. Until then, you should... If you want to give us an early Christmas present, you should like, follow, subscribe to all of our social media platforms.
Facebook. Let me tell them. We've got Facebook.
We do.
We've got Instagram.
Uh-huh.
We've got Twitter.
We sure do.
And we got this gnarly thing called TikTok.
Yeah.
You can follow us on there.
Yeah. You're signing up for it, aren't you?
No.
No?
Not at all. You can follow us at HSV Home Video.
You can also see what we got going on at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Also, give a like to Underboss Photography, Underboss_Photography on all them social meds. Michael doing some killer year-end stuff. It is that time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing like some of his best shots of the year.
Posting some throwbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
One of those throwbacks you have hanging on your wall.
I have two of them hanging on
my
wall.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Of the city and of the flamingo.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you follow him and you like his work, he does sell prints of his work. That, my friend, would make a phenomenal Christmas present. Give the gift of art.
It would.
Go follow Michael at Underboss Photography. And until we chat with you again, where we're unwrapping the present of A Christmas Story, be kind this holiday season and rewind. I didn't think of a good ending for this one.
You know what? I didn't either. I was just excited to be back here.
I figured you were going to check your app, see if your car starts.
No, I feel like I've run that joke into the ground.
Let's do it again.
Let's see the app. Let's see. What are we doing here? Come on, Blue Link. Come on. Oh, services aren't available. Goddamn peasant motherfuckers. God.
Merry Christmas.